Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. Hey, how you doing?
Good. I don't know if listeners know that that we sort of alternate these recordings. Sometimes we do them over the telephone, and sometimes we do them using Skype. It seems to me that the big determinant is where you are geographically.
Yes.
But I can just picture you today, since we're using a phone, with your neck all scrunched up. A little birdie told me that you have taken a flight recently and sat in a funny position and have some sort of a neck pull.
Yeah, the folks from Kaiser Permanente were nice enough to invite me out to their annual primary care meeting to talk to a bunch of primary care docs there, and I had a great time. And they made the wise decision of locating the meeting on Maui.
I'm so sorry to hear
that. Terrible.
And you had to go all the way to Maui.
All the way.
And then you got a neck strain. Oh, my goodness.
Well, coming back, you have to take, of course, if you live on the East Coast, you take a red eye back. And so I'm in the window seat, sort of scrunched up against the window, trying to get a little rest overnight. And, boy, the next day I could barely move my neck. So I read this one with great interest and, it provided some guidance for me, but not what I was looking for, I guess.
So what you're talking about, we would call a neck sprain.
Mm-hmm.
It is a stretching or tearing of soft tissues in your neck. It often includes muscles, tendons, and ligaments. It is often, but not always, treated with a cervical collar. The thinking, and again, I don't know about the evidence, but the thinking is that wearing this ugly-looking thing around your neck supports the head and perhaps takes pressure off of the neck. There are medications that we use. I'm sure you've tried some of them, including all of the NSAIDs and also acetaminophen. But then we get to the issue of temperature. And there are recommendations to apply ice and apply heat. And poem that we're going to look at today asks the question, which modality is more effective for adults with acute neck and back strain, a heating pad or a cold pack? And now, this is a real study. It's not just asking Mark what he tried and what worked. It was published in Academic Emergency Medicine. Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this is a good journal. I have to, kudos to Academic Emergency Medicine. They publish a lot of interesting practical studies and useful not only to ER docs but also to those of us in the primary care world.
It's index rating has just jumped. I'm a reviewer for them and just got a congratulations note. And so apparently you're not the only one that thinks that it's a good journal.
Well, you know, it's amazing. You publish useful, clinically useful studies and people read them.
Absolutely.
So anyway, this study isn't the last word on the topic, but I wanted to talk about it because it's one of the few fairly rigorous studies of this question. And they had 60 adults presenting to an academic ER with a complaint of back or neck pain of less than 24 hours duration resulting from a minor injury. And so all the patients were initially given 400 of oral ibuprofen, and they were then randomized to get either 30 minutes of continuous treatment with a cold pack or 30 minutes with a heating pad. So the patients were not blinded, but they did conceal allocation to the groups. So that's actually probably more important, or at least as important as blinding.
Mark, I understand obviously why they can't blind patients, but what does that mean that they concealed allocation?
Good question. Blinding is what happens after the study starts. So once the study starts, the patients don't know what they're taking. The researchers don't know what the patients are taking. The people observing outcomes don't know what the patients are taking. Allocation concealment talks about how do these patients get into the group in the first place. And so that's what happens before the study begins or as the study is beginning. And it's really important because there are intentional and unintentional and sort of almost subconscious ways that people bias studies, and researchers are biased in favor of finding an effect. And so there are sort of subconscious and sometimes conscious biases in how patients get assigned. So, you know, somebody may be withheld or discouraged from applying for the study if they're felt to not be a good candidate, or if the researcher knows or can look at the envelope and see who's being assigned to what study, they can kind of game the system. And believe it or not, this has been shown to happen and to actually have a pretty big impact on study results. So concealment of allocation just means that usually they have a phone-in and the patient is assigned by somebody off-site to a group, and the researcher on-site or the doctor or the patient has no say or no ability to influence that process. Anyway, so they couldn't blind the patients. They did conceal allocation, and the patients reported their pretreatment pain using a 100-millimeter visual analog pain scale. 100 is worse, 0 is no pain at all. And as soon as the treatment was over, 30 minutes later, patients were again asked to use the same scale, although they were masked to their initial rating, so they weren't told, well, before you said 70, what do you think now? I'm not sure. I guess maybe they think these patients were really dumb that they couldn't remember what they had indicated 30 minutes before. But,
right, exactly.
Whatever. So the post-treatment pain scores were significantly lower than baseline in both groups, but there was no difference between groups in how much they improved, and there was no difference in the use of rescue medications between groups and no difference in overall patient satisfaction. So bottom line is that when you add cold or heat to 400 milligrams of oral ibuprofen, you get the same reduction in pain. So basically, when your patient asks you, what's better for my hurt back or neck, heat or cold, you can simply say yes. Or should I use heat or cold? Yes. And so we really can't say which is better based on this study. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, it's funny. It is calling out for some sort of a placebo group or something where they get something, you know, that no one expects to work, but the patients have to do something.
Yeah, you know, magnet application or
exactly.
Something like that. I mean, that would
be a TENS unit.
Yeah, so, and then don't turn it on.
Exactly.
Or turn it on really low, so it's just providing some skin tingling but isn't really doing anything.
I'm not sure it ever does anything anyway.
Agreed.
You can't turn
agreed,
it on.
Agreed. But, I mean, you know, so you could even eliminate that
right.
Theoretical concern. So, yeah, absolutely. You can't rule out that basically nothing works, that it was just time and ibuprofen that helped. So it really was kind of unfortunate, but at least in this study, there wasn't any difference, and patients in both groups felt better. So, I was always taught, I don't know what you were taught, I was always taught that early on after a strain, you know, within the first 24 hours, you use cold, and after that, you use heat, and if there seems to be a lot of spasm, you use heat. You know, maybe that makes sense, but we don't really know that is the best for our patients.
Great. So Mark, with that advice, the answer is yes. Yes to cold, yes to heat. Which
whatever
are you going to
use? Whatever you think will make you feel better.
Which are you going to use?
Of course, I'm going to use cold initially and then heat for the spasm. We all have things that we think help, and, you know, I work on trying to stretch the part of my neck that has spasm and just do slow stretching and massage. So that's, you know, it gets better. Whether that helped it get better faster, we don't know.
Thanks, Mark. I hope you feel better.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.